Well, good morning, and welcome to the worship this morning. Thank you, brothers, for especially the worship this morning. I thought about what you shared this morning, Jordan, about boast in Jesus Christ. What you just shared, Brother Steve, that's why we boast in Jesus Christ. He took all our sin and bore it on the cross for us. He paid the penalty. He paid the debt that we owed. That's why we boast in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for sharing, brother. I think our emotions were all stirred this morning.
Sometimes I just think about life. And it's just cruising along. It's just like, and sometimes we put the brakes on and just think, you know, what is life about? And especially, we had a wedding this last week again, and these young kids, that almost think are getting married. And it puts us, it's like, where are we at? And it's good for me to just stop and think. And some of the decisions that I didn't make is I was born into a family, parents, that I did not choose. I had a family that I did not choose. And I'm so grateful for that, the opportunity that I had to grow up in a family like that. And then also that I had the opportunity to go to church every 2 weeks and hear about God, about his son Jesus, and then how Jesus, we heard about sin coming into the world, how Jesus came and paid the debt, and crucified on the cross, rose again, and I'm going to just say, it says sitting. He can all be standing at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us this morning. And the one song that we sing quite a bit is, "In Christ Alone, Our Hope Is Found." And I had to think about that this morning. In Christ alone, our hope is found. And it says, "And now he stands in victory. Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ." Can we say hallelujah this morning? Praise the Lord. As I was preparing for this message, I had to think about my brother Jake. He had an open heart surgery, and I had an opportunity to be in with him for a night soon after his open heart surgery, and I noticed something. He was wired up, and one of them for sure, there was a screen there, and it was a heart monitor. It showed what his heart is doing. It gave a readback to the doctors of what is going on in his heart. If it's working functionally, if it's working correctly. And I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting. But this morning, as I was preparing for that message, or not just this morning, but this week, I thought about each one of us also has a heart monitor. Each one of us also, and what's in the heart comes out. And it has a tendency coming out. Whatever our thoughts are, how we process things, it comes out. It's a monitor. So our words are the monitor of what could be in the heart. It's an indication of what's in the heart. And I get that out of Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 34. can start with that. It says, O generation of vipers, this is Jesus' teaching. And he said, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of thereof in the day of judgment. And it goes on, it says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And I see there, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The message, the title of my message this morning is, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. In verse 36, it says, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I think, wow, every idle word, everything that's just loosely spoken, that we didn't think through it, just everything that blurts out, if you can say that, we will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Maybe the positive note on that is also, verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. Romans 10, verse 9, it just says, for that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's something that you are confessing with your mouth. And you will be justified by those words. And on the other hand, it can also be, if you do not confess those words, and if you reject Christ, and you continue speaking words, idle words, you will be condemned. We have, in our business, we have an older gentleman working for us. And it's really a blessing because sometimes when I'm in my office, I hear him talk. And I believe he's actually, he's praying. And he's quoting scripture. And that blesses me. As an older person, that's what's in his heart. And I believe that's where we want to go. That's where we want to be. I don't ever hear him speak idle words. And I know there's, you know, maybe some older people that, you know, they don't have control of that. And idle words come out of their mouth. And I just so appreciate that from this man. So there's a lot of ways, a lot of places I can go with this. But I thought I'm going to really dial in to the word gossip. I know it's something that I don't see here, but maybe just a reminder of how God looks at gossip, what it does, and how it hurts people. So it's just a reminder for us, especially with social media. You can post stuff, and it just goes, and there's some things that go on that really put people down. And it's not what God wants. We are called to be a blessing. We are called to speak words of life and blessing. But it's something that is very common to man. And something maybe we all deal with or have dealt with is gossip. So we're going to look at some of that, and maybe I'm going to ask a couple questions. Why do we gossip? Why would we gossip? And one of them is, it's a story. It's something that we tell. It's a story, and we all like stories, and we like reaction. We'd like to see what happens if we tell a story. And then the other one is insecurity. We are insecure. So we gossip about someone else, about something, and we're insecure in our own lives. It feels good to talk about something, someone else. And then jealous. We're jealous. And I had to think about that. So these are some of the things that I probably had to deal with. So I remember back when I was a carpenter. I was the foreman. And someone was working on my crew that was smarter than me. And first I thought it was, I appreciated that. But there was a time that I started maybe speaking words of condemnation just because I didn't appreciate what he's saying or what he's doing, because he's doing it much better than me, quicker than me. So there was a jealousy coming, rising up within me. And because I was jealous, I started talking negative about him. And that's not God's heart. That's not God's will that we do that. I should have blessed him. I should have encouraged him to go on. And, to speak well of him. Praise the Lord that, we did make reconciliation. The other one is self-righteous. Self-righteous. Thinking that, did you hear how they messed up? And talk about that. Not realizing we also make the same mistakes. We can tend to make the same mistakes. But we talk about their failures. And then we try to justify ourselves that we don't do that. Another one is, well, maybe we just want to be a part of the group. Just be a part of what's going on, and we don't want to really call it out as gossip. So I listened to an audiobook. The name is Resisting Gossip by Matthew Mitchell. And his definition of gossip is sharing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. Again, his definition is sharing bad news behind someone's back out of a bad heart. If we want to break that down a little bit, we're talking about someone, their failures, and maybe not even knowing the whole story. So often we can assume something, and we can tell it, we can say it. And it's not the truth, not the full truth, but we gossip about it. And we tell other people about it. We're sharing it from our perspective, and it's giving bad information. What should I be doing? I think God's word would be clearer. We go to that person and ask, is that how it is? I'm hearing this. Is this the truth? And I believe before we pass it on, that's how it should be. Behind someone's back, would I say something about that person if he were in the same room? Most times we wouldn't. Maybe even saying something, or maybe going to him and getting some information and then twisting it and sharing it with other people. That's sharing out of a bad heart behind someone's back. And it goes against God, his will for us. It's not the golden rule. We would not want them, you know, if we wouldn't want other people sharing our failures to other people. Or, you know, that's not something we would really be excited about. But still, if we are not, if we're insecure, that's what happens. Maybe even just think, why am I sharing this? Why am I sharing this? Out of a bad heart, we could go back to Matthew 12 and hear Jesus is saying, "A generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Because if our heart is bad, if our heart is evil, that's what's going to come out. So let's not, let's don't fool ourselves. If there are things coming out of our mouth that are not pure, lovely, and it's not, okay, I'm going to try harder not to do this. Return to Jesus. Again, we are called to a higher calling. We are to reject faith. We are to reject blessing as Christians. What do we do if someone gossips about us? Bad things about us? What is the correct thing to do? Or even if someone is talking about someone else, and they're talking to us about it, what is our response to that? And I have found it so often in my life where if I would talk about someone to someone else, and if they give a positive point about that person, it shuts it down. That or even, did you talk to that person about it? It almost always stops right there. And if someone does gossip to us and we digest it, it does not feel good. It tastes horrible. Last week, Jesse preached on the presence of God. And if you go to Proverbs 6, Proverbs 6. Actually, this is not about the presence of God. But what I want to bring out today is, again, it's not that I see it in this church as a body, but there's just a reminder how God looks at gossip, how God looks at idle words. If you go to Proverbs 6, verse 16, it says, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Those are things that God hates. It means he can't stand it. It says it's an abomination unto him. And right there is feet that be swift in running to mischief. a false witness that speaketh lies. And then, he that soweth discord among brethren. And gossip, that's what gossip does. It sows discord among brethren. And God hates it. If we go to Psalms 15, this is where I was going to go with the presence of God. Psalms 15, verse 1. Psalms 15, verse 1. And I'll read to that whole chapter there. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? It's a question that David's asking here. He's asking this question. It almost seems like he's meditating. And he said, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? It's almost like, who's going to be in your presence? And then he writes, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Again, I think it's very clear in Scripture that our words that come out of our mouth is important. Speaketh the truth in his heart. Those are the people that are going to be in his presence. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up in a reproach against his neighbor. In verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is contempt, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Again, just bringing out the point here. If we are gossiping, if we have a temptation of gossip, the presence of God does not want to dwell there. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Romans 1. Verse 28. Again, I'm just bringing out some of the wicked deeds, some of the things that God hates. Romans 1, verse 28, starting 28 to the end. And here's some wicked deeds that God says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, maligny, whispers. Whispers right there is, if you would have some modern translation, it would be gossip. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There we see gossip or whispers in the same list as murder, as envy, haters of God. Again, just the bringing out the wickedness or Yeah, just the wickedness of what we see here. And gossip is in there. And it says, God gave him over to a reprobate mind. You know, sometimes if we can't change unless we see the seriousness of it. We see the seriousness of it, we get convicted. And it's not about trying to do better. It's running to Jesus. It's running to Jesus. Gossip destroys trust in businesses. If gossip starts going around in a business, it destroys trust. In churches, you can start with whispers, start with a little thing, and you go around, and it destroys trust. It destroys churches. And it also destroys our testimony. Or the testimony that we're talking about. We're degrading someone, and he's been maybe innocent, and it just destroys his testimony. It's just a lot. It's bad in a lot of ways. Gossip grieves the Holy Spirit. It goes against what the Bible says about loving our neighbors as ourselves. And God hates it. There's a lot of places we could go with that. But I don't want to leave you with a negative, just everything negative. I like to go to Ephesians 4. So, as Christians, I'm going to just bring out some things here in Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is just, Paul is affirming the Christians there who they are. And that's who we are called to be. And it says in verse 1, Ephesians 1, it says, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children. Verse 7, redeemed us through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's just a lot of, in those three chapters, there's just a lot in there that Paul is affirming the Christians there of who they are. As Christians, that's who we are. We are not called to be gossipers. There's a higher calling. There's a higher calling. So if we go to Ephesians 4, I'm going to start jumping at 17 there. This I say therefore. Therefore is because of what I just shared in the last couple chapters. And testifying the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. He said, don't walk like that. Don't walk as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So again, I just want to bring out, gossip is a very worldly thing to do. It's just a very worldly thing. Something we don't want to, you know, we look at worldliness, maybe some of us, maybe look on the outward part, but really, gossip is one of those worldly things that we don't want to partake in. So we're going to look the difference between a worldly man or a godly man or a woman, whatever. In verse 20, I think it is possible to live like this. And, you know, I talked quite a bit about the negative. And we can stop doing the negative, but we also need to do the positive. Stop one and put on the other. And this is what it's talking about here. From 20, I'm going to go to the end of the chapter. So I believe it's possible to live like this. And maybe even think, well, what am I going to talk about now? What should I be talking about? But we start at verse 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man. The new man is Jesus. We put on the new man. We put off the old man. So we put off and put on. It's almost like putting a garment on. We put a garment off, and we put a garment on. And that, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, that's the old man. Old man, putting away lying. Then the new man, speak every man's truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. That's the new man. Be ye angry and sin not. The old man gets angry. But it says, do not sin. That's the new man. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him steal no more. That's stealing, is the old man. Go and he wants to go for himself or get something for himself without paying for it. That's the old man. Steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good. That he may have to give to him that needeth. That's the new man. That's Christ in us. So that we have something to give to him that is in need. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No, zero. Corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's the new man. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then it goes on and says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I shared earlier how the words, if we gossip, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And here we see, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then it goes on, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's the new man. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the new man. That's opposite from what I was sharing earlier. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We treat other people like we want to be treated. So this morning, I'm just going to offer a gospel message to you. If you have been, struggling with gossip, God is just saying, give it to me. Not just stop it, but maybe just repent. Repent of it. And say, you know what? I gossip because I was jealous. Gossip because I thought there's, you know, maybe whatever it is. But we gossip because there's something within us that's wrong. So praise the Lord that we're Christians. Praise the Lord we can come to Jesus, confess our sins. He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins. And we confess. Another one in Proverbs 31:26 is the story of the woman. And I usually like to think that could also be the body of Christ. And I the bride of Christ. It's Proverbs 31, verse 26. In her tongue is a law of kindness. I just, that witnesses with me.